you know, aliens in a strange land. And because amid a world crisis, and I don't think no one would deny that we are experiencing a world crisis, people are concerned about the future. But as Christians, we should be more concerned about the future of the church. And will it continue as the Lord's church as we know it? You know, considering the increasing trends and changing worldviews about things, it makes you wonder, will the church, or what will the church look like? Some 30 years from now, what will the church look like? Will the church stay the course? Or will it be absorbed by the trends and cultures of the time? Our theme, overarching theme tonight is aliens in a strange land. But tonight's discussion will emphasize aliens in a technological world. Now, I do feel like I'm in the lion's den because I've seen some things since I've been here tonight, but I'm going to roll on anyway with my lesson. The phrase alien denotes a person born in another country and therefore not entitled to the benefits and privileges of the country that they currently reside in. It's often used interchangeably with words such as foreigners and strangers, as we find in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 19. And so when we think about this, we wonder sometimes, are we aliens in a strange world, in a strange land? Well, who would think that Christians are but aliens? Well, I believe Jesus thought so. In John chapter 17, 14, and 16, it says, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Now, to add to that, we sing a song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So I think by us singing that song as we do, we believe ourselves are but aliens. Doesn't that make sense? We are just passing through. And so the text that I've chosen to address our topic or our main theme is Psalms 137, verse 1 through 4. And while you're turning there, I like to say, or at least ask, have you ever been in a place where God never intended for you to be? Have you ever said to yourself, God, where am I? Psalms 137, the Bible says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And that wasted us, they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? While in Babylonian captivity, God's children were required to sing a song that they did not want or care to sing. A song only to be sung in worship to God in Jerusalem, in their assemblies, in their church. But they were compelled by their captors to sing one of those songs of Zion. And I can only imagine that in their mind they were thinking, what you're asking us to do goes against the very convictions that we've had all the days of our lives. Because what you're asking us to do is to sing you a song that's only to be sung in our home, in our church, unto our God. and you're asking me to sing this song here in a strange land. Also, when we look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 through 4, there we are told that the world thinks strangely of us and views us as strange because we no longer desire to follow them in the things that they enjoy doing. And they just can't understand why we no longer have pleasure in the same thing that gives them pleasure. And they view us as strange, and to the point that they speak evil of us because we no longer will run to the same lust of the flesh that they enjoy. And for this cause, I believe that we are strangers or aliens in a strange land. So I say then, so looking at where we are right now, have we begun to show more interest in things that interest the world most? This evening, I want to pose a couple of questions regarding technology and the church. Thus, is a technological world a place where the church should or should not be? And is its use hurting or helping the church? Now, believe it or not, there is division among churches and the brotherhood concerning the use of modern technology in our assemblies. Some say to not use it is to be narrow-minded and archaic and stuck in the past. And others are claiming that is a gateway to more evil things that can enter into our worship assemblies. And so tonight, for a moment or so, let's entertain this topic: aliens in a technological world. Are we in a strange land? Is a technological world a place where the church should not be? Is our technology use hurting our church? Now, there are countless articles and statistics that you can download on the website or online showing how technology can help churches with administration, with worship and communication, but are there downsides to its use? Are there downsides? Is it possible that while technology may be aiding worship in some respects, but also in other ways, it could be hindering it? These things we have to contemplate from time to time, because we are in an ever-changing society, ever-changing culture, and we're either part of it or we're not, or run alongside of it, but we're here. Just like Jesus said, we're in the world, but not of the world. And so we want to entertain this tonight. Now, one report, one study suggests baby boomers, and I'm a baby boomer, I'm 59. Lord willing, I'll be 60 in November, so I made it. But baby boomers and beyond believe that our younger believers, our younger group of Christians, will be impacted by or will be affected by technology in the coming years more so than those who are 59 plus, because of their constant exposure to the internet and social media in a less Bible and spiritual information age. Now, we are encouraged by Colossians 2:8 that we need not to allow ourselves to be deceived by philosophy of men, vain deceit, after tradition of men, after the rooms of the world, not after Christ. So we are warned, we're encouraged, that is, that we shouldn't be seduced or bewitched by the information that is out there. And there it is, a lot of information out there that we perhaps don't need to know about. But according to a 2011 survey conducted by Tyndale University College and Seminary, 35% of church leaders believe that churches are too focused on technology. 13.6% believe that there are more important things to focus on than technology. And 11.5% believe that technology distracts people from worship, But since this 2011 survey, which is kind of dated, smartphone owners has more than doubled from 35% then to 77% now. And so we're in a technological age. We're in it, church. So what are we going to do about it? However, the problem is, according to the studies, is that, at least in the church community, is that instead of going to the preachers and the elders and church leaders for advice, most members are accessing the internet for an answer. And the answer they're getting may not always line up with the Word of God, as we understand truth in the Word of God. And it's creating problems, and many are abandoning the church because they took advice from areas they shouldn't have taken it, instead of coming to those who feed them, shepherd them, teach them weekly and daily, and that creates a problem. Now, let me say this, that technology in and of itself isn't bad. It isn't bad because for the past 7 years, these degrees he mentioned, I've been obtaining them through the internet. So I can't be a hypocrite tonight, but I got to lay it out there. And so I know the values of technology. In fact, while I served in the military, many of you didn't know that we had cell phones that the people, y'all didn't know about, but I used to work on cell phones in the 80s or 70s. Satellite fax machines, I repaired those things. So I know about communication technology. Long before cell phone even came out, I had one pretty much. I didn't know it was a cell phone, but that's what I had. And so I'm technological savvy, but as I got into the Word of God, I left a whole lot of things I could do behind. But I never lost concept of the value of technology. However, when we understand the potential problems technology does present, is that it can never substitute face-to-face human interactions. It can only do so much. Connecting and interacting with other human beings face-to-face is essential for life, and so it is also essential for the church in its life. So then, someone may say, well, then, brother, when and what form of technology is harmful to the church? Thanks for asking. A noted research professor at Baylor University says that mobile technology tends to divide, distract, and cause people to focus on self. Think about this now. We create our own world, however we want our world to be. Mobile technology will allow that to be. And then he goes to say that technology has changed the way we think and the way we work. We have shorter attention spans and demand instant gratification. This computer is slow. Well, you got the fastest thing they got out there. Technology makes focusing in general more difficult. It's harder to concentrate on sermons or pray for extended lengths of time, all because we train ourselves to pay attention to short bursts of text. How can church members be focused on the sermon while simultaneously tweeting about the sermon or something else? It's just like texting while driving or driving while texting. You can't do both. It's like the Bible teaches us, you can't serve two masters. And so Psalms 89:7 encourages us this way. See, great is God, or great is the God that deserves to be reverent in the assemblies of the saints. Psalms 89:7. And he had reverence in all of them that's about him. And so I say perhaps I was slouching, I was daydreaming, and I've been preoccupied with everything but worship sometimes. Perhaps makes us irreverent. Now, how many times, you know, and this is where I am, and we have the same problem. In our bulletin, we put a little picture of a cell phone and a little circle with a line through it. And that is supposed to be a subliminal message to tell you, turn it off. And then we get up, the announcer man goes back through it. At this time, will you please disarm all your things, or at least put them on silent mode so it won't interfere with our technology or with our sound system. And you think everybody say amen and it's compliance. But as I'm about 15, 20 minutes into my sermon, guess what? I get a call from somewhere. And everybody jump up and run. And now, I know we're laughing about this now, but you know, there are some of us who come to the assembly with so much things on our mind and heart pressing us, we need to hear a word and nothing but the word. And when we are distracted unnecessarily by these devices, sometimes folk can't recapture their focus in the worship. Some of us can, but not all of us can do that. And so it really disturbs the worship. Amen. When this phone going off, that phone going off, iPads are singing. And we've had one place I've gone. I don't know how many of y'all are like Willie Nelson, but he had a song that, you know, we probably shouldn't have as your ringtone, but they did. And someone had a ringtone by Tupac, which they shouldn't have. But at any rate, that happens because of the use, the improper use of technology. So we do know that. Now, when we talk about when and what forms of technology is the most harmful, I mentioned mobile technology, but also there's video technology. Video technology makes at-home church attendance, and I don't know if y'all headed in that direction or not, but it's already in many other places. At-home church attendance increasingly available to congregations. And what we mean by that is that these days, many people are asking the leaderships, why go to church when I can watch it online in my pajamas? Now, this problem is an issue that's new to the leadership of these days. Well, what do you say, shepherds? What do you say, elders? What do you say, preachers? We got live streaming. Can't they hear our word at home just as well they can hear it here? Well, we introduced this technology, And now we got to live with it, work with it, right? It didn't come through the door on its own. We went out there and got it and brought it in here. Now we got to deal with it. That's the situation we're dealing with. And so when we understand that, we need to be encouraged that I think the Bible had it right in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, that we come together to exhort one another, encourage one another daily, provoke one another to love and good works. I don't know how possible that is when the majority of us stay at home. Just like, for instance, where I am, and I can kind of speak about where I am, is that when I sit where I can watch everyone come in early or late, and maybe I need to turn my back so I won't be discouraged sometime, but I do. And about time I get up in the rostrum and so forth, I have a real good crowd. But, you know, if I'm struggling with the low numbers and people are not coming for various reasons, if we implemented home church via video technology, what does that do when just a few shows up? Because we know that when they come, it encourages you. Where's brother so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? Where is everyone? It affects our purpose for being in the assembly. And but that is what is taking place when we look at what harm does video technology brings to the church. But then there's another social media. There's another form of technology that can harm churches if not used in the right way. Social media is all about bringing people together. And we know that. But as much as social media brings people together, it also tends to isolate.
That's right.
We're engaging with a device, church, a machine, a device. You know, in my house, I can say this. Everyone has a cell phone. I had two, but I found a system that I can get two numbers in one phone. So I have my North Carolina number, and I wanted to need a local number, so I was able to get that. T-Mobile, by the way, not advertising phone. They don't pay me anything, but they got that system. So you can call me from two different numbers, the one phone ring. I don't even bring my phone in the auditorium. I don't bring my phone at all. I leave it in my car, I leave it in my office sometimes because people call me. And even though I may have it on vibrate, even as a focused preacher, my mind is wondering, who is that calling me? And I always said, look, everybody that knows who I am knows where I am at this time on the Lord's day. And they know what time I'm done, so they don't call me until about 12:30 because they know where Ben Griffin is from about 8 o'clock in the morning to about 12 o'clock, he's at church. If they need me, they can find me there. They know where I am, and even on Wednesday night, they know where I am. Now, I think we need to let people know where we are, kind of like we live, so they won't bother you. But, you know, people do call. And so I help myself in that regard. But also, we need to bear in mind that we're engaging with a device that can't replace our in-person engagement with one another. It just won't do it. We find ourselves having thousands of virtual relationships, but don't have any real, genuine relationships because of the virtuality of it. Now, also, it is said that social media, it destroys the concept of friendship. Because if there's someone you don't like, you can unfriend them. You can unfriend them. You don't have to face them. You don't have to deal with them no more. I don't even know how you do it, but because I'm not on Facebook. I will say this, though. I was trying to find an older preacher not quite a year ago. And I knew it was his daughter because he talked about her. And I know she's on Facebook. So I went on Facebook, opened up a little window just to get in there and try to find him. When I found him, I thought I was shutting it down. Because I already told my wife and my daughters, dad and all my kids, why are you not on Facebook? I said, look, I got enough problems already. I got too many code numbers, passwords, numbers. My church, I don't need nothing else to confuse me. So y'all handle that. And so, but I do use technology. I talked to my grandson in Italy on the phone and got this thing called WhatsApp, new technology, young folks. So I'm not square, y'all. I want y'all to know, young folk. I'm up to date, but I'm a preacher, and I'm trying to help folk do the right thing most of the time. So here it is that trying to get people to realize that you just can't unfriend church people. You can't unfriend your brother and sister in Christ, because the Bible says if you have an ought with your brother, we have to do what? Go to them. And so we can't hide behind this technology by just unfriending them. Now I'm done with you. You're out of my life forever. So we think. But not only does it bring people together and isolate folk, it destroys the concept of friendship, but also it feeds our entertainment-driven culture. In other words, our attention span is getting shorter, and our appetites for entertainment is becoming more impossible to satisfy.
That's right.
We want to be entertained. And so everything it is, so we can be sitting up in church, listen to a little church, listen to a little jazz, right there. And maybe the person next to you can look and see what is going on with this person. And you can take them out of the worship by you being out of the worship yourself, being distracted with this instrument, with this device. Now, so, but we are encouraged by 1 Thessalonians 5:22 to abstain from all appearances of evil. If it gets to a point where you feel that this device has control over you, then consider yourself an alien in a strange land. It has control over you. It's allowing you to do, causing you to do some things that you know you shouldn't be doing. And so when we also want to consider, and someone may ask, well, what changes or shift to traditional worship has technology caused? You know, there are churches, you know, I do a lot of research because I have to. But there are churches now who are Bibleless. I mean, one of these. They are songbookless, if that's a such phrase. Something else they didn't have. Well, they still did communion the traditional way. Oh, yeah, the money thing, online giving, that's all right when you're out of town. I'm okay with that one. So, now, but, you know, it's getting to a point now, as 30 years from now, what is it going to be like? Now, when I took my first church in 1987 in Sarasota, Florida, in Bradenton area, they had a drive-in church back in 87, and it was there before I got there. It was an old movie, drive-in theater. A lot of youngsters don't know about that, but that's all we had back in the days. And they bought this, this church bought this old drive-in theater. And, of course, now you can drive up to the speaker, hear the sermon, and I guess they're mailing their contributions in. I don't know how they're doing that part, but I know you could drive in and get some church and drive on out. Now, that was in 87. Now, that was pre-technology, very creative and so forth. But that's how it was. But I just imagine what it's going to be like 20 years from now, that is, this worship assembly. Now, so... And I already mentioned prematurely about the announcements have to be read and written to protect the reverence of our assembly together. We know that is a change. And believe me, if we did not remind people to turn them off, put them on silence, they won't. Now, that has become telling you what you ought not to do, become a part of the announcement. Here it is. We are telling folk now, turn off your things so we can worship God in spirit and truth and decency and order. And then there are those who refuse to do it because everyone is not obedient. And they're disrupting others' focus on the worship. So we do know those are some causes, some effects that it's having. But Media Magazine, according to them, they say many churches implement new technological practices to appeal to the younger generation. Say, while trendy tech may generate short-term attendance boosts, it could undermine the real mission of the church. So let me transition, because my time is slipping. I want to do the other side, too. I want to do the contrast. I don't want you to think I'm just beating up technology. There's a good side to it. So let's talk about that for a moment. So in contrast, this, our second question to our point, is a technological world a place where the church should be? Is our technology use helping the church? Let's talk about that for a moment. The technological edification of the church is a huge issue. And every congregation and every preacher and teacher need to take advantage of technology that enables the church's mission. Many good and solid Christians believe that technology is a resource that can be used for God's glory. Many resort to Romans 14, 19 to 23. As a resource or a reference text to show that there are some things that may be wrong to someone else, may not necessarily be wrong to the other. Let a man be persuaded in his own mind. We, as individuals, we serve God. You're not my servant, you're God's servant. So there are some things that we need in the technological realm to help enhance our existence as church. And so we know that. Now, the old text that said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, and of course, brother, go back, way back, a little further than I do. He says go, didn't say how go. So our creativity and our freedom to glorify God, we start mailing out cassette tapes. Cassette tapes. And then, of course, the CDs came. And then the MP3s came. Now I think the blue thing, some blue thing out there now. Yeah, so Blu-ray. Yeah. And there may be something else out there that I don't know about. But these things, we've been able to carry the gospel to places that it could never go, or at least at fast. But here are three things I want to leave with you about the technology. It allows the church mission. Technology enables communication. Through Facebook and Twitter or church blogs, we can easily communicate directly with the people in our congregation throughout the day and throughout the week. Technology enables community. It allows greater sense of community that doesn't demand proximity. Proximity isn't required to have community. You can have it from a distance. We do that. Technology enables discipleship. In one church, they can access sermon online, and people use their phones and iPads to follow along and take notes. Technology enables members and attendees to enhance their discipleship experience at church. We know these things take place. So, all things considered, has the world of technology taken you captive? Who's in control? You or it? There are unintended side effects of technology that are both depersonalizing and dehumanizing, but there are some incredible benefits of technology that enables the mission of the church. And we need to bear in mind that technology and understanding of the times coexist. And what I mean by that, in 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32, the Bible says, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. And all their brethren were at their commandment. These were informed men, men who knew what was best for their people. They were perhaps abreast of the public affairs. They had a hand on the pulse of the nation, and the tendencies of the present evil events of those days. Today, leaders of the church must stay abreast of the shifting trends and cultures, the hidden language of negative change that wars against the faith. So we must be aware as leaders of our church, of our churches and our faith, that yes, we are in a technological world, but are we being held captive by it, or has it given us the freedom by which we can glorify God? We have to constantly evaluate and assess and challenge ourselves, make certain that we're doing all the right things for all the right reasons, and that we don't find ourselves strangers or aliens in a strange land, being compelled, forced to do something that we know that is against our nature, nor against, it works against our spirit. It doesn't promote our relationship with God. So we have to be careful that we don't allow it to take us out of our worship, take us out of our fellowship, take us out of our spiritual growth and development. We have got to remain in control of it and not allow it to control us. Let us pray.